Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
So anyway, we're in the series called Strengthen the Net. And today, if you can go with me in your Bible, we're going to go to Mark chapter 1. If you don't have your Bible, I'll read this for you on the screen. You can follow me with me on the screen. But I advise you to get your Bible out. You might want to underline certain parts of it as we go along. But Mark chapter 1, verse 16, starting here. Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, speaking of Jesus, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me." Everybody say, "Follow me." "And I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in the boat mending the nets. Everybody say, mending the nets. We'll come back to that. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. I always wonder about that. Eh? See you later, Dad. Let's pray as we get into the word today. Father, I thank you that this is your word. Your word that speaks to us, your word that breaks shackles off our lives, your word that really does light our path so that we know where we're going. And so, God, I pray that you would help me to be faithful in delivering of your word to these wonderful people, Lord God. And even on this special Australia Day Sunday, Lord God, we ask for your Holy Spirit to bless this land and that it would challenge us, this word would challenge us towards your desire for us to cast the strengthened net towards our city of Brisbane and towards our nation of Australia. Use me, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so just by way of review, we've been going through this series called Strengthen the Net. We've been likening the church, the body of Christ, to a net that God wants to use to cast. We based it on John chapter 21, where Jesus casts the net. Jesus commands the disciples to cast the net onto the other side. And so as they throw the net onto the other side, they catch a big load of fish, a huge fish, and 153 of them. And we saw that as a prophetic symbol for our church, that God is going to use us as a net to be cast into the city of Brisbane, to be cast into Australia. Not that we're the only net, because God wants to do this with the whole body of Christ, to be cast into the net. Just turn to somebody who's a Christian around you and just say that your Christianity is not just for you. It's actually that you be used to display Christ to other people. And so we talked about this whole analogy of being a net. We also talked about what a net looks like up close. We talked about the joinings and the strand. The joinings representing our relationships with one another, and the strand representing our character. And the strength of our strand determines how well we will be used. That strong strands are not easily broken. But then as we are joint, where God wants us to be joined, and this is where I want to emphasize today as we're moving towards the tail end of this series, is just looking at the strength of the joining of the net. Now, as I've been studying for this, and I've been studying this whole series for the last 2 to 3 months just in preparation to serve you with this word, I've been actually studying fishing because I don't fish, despite what you may think. I'm not a fisherman. I love fish and chips, but I'm not like my brother Renee, who's who loves fishing with nets and fishing. How many other people love to fish in here? How many of you guys, and I notice it's mostly men, oh, we had a couple of sisters, all right. But the men in here, how many of you love to fish not because you want to escape from your spouse? Okay, but you love to fish. All right. I'm just saying, because a couple of hands went down, I won't point at them. But the thing about fishing is there is a technique. And so as I've been studying fishing, it still hasn't interested me to the point where I want to go out and fish, to be honest, because it looks like such a tedious task. It looks like a lot of preparation and a lot of preparation, particularly if you're a net fisher. If you're a cast net fisher, you need to know about the techniques of how to cast a net, how to mend the net, the different parts of the net. I just thought the net was a net. Like, I'm a basketball fan, so I thought, like the hoop, the net, I thought that's it, like, it just goes and then tie at the bottom and then you just drag it along and you catch a fish like that. But apparently there's like a massive science to this whole thing of casting nets and fishing. So this is what I believe, and this is actually a sculpture, a piece of art that was done by a Korean artist. But I really believe that God wants to use us. If you look closely, it's actually copper people. That God wants to use us as a strong net tied to one another to catch people. And so this is the initial calling that he gave to the disciples to come, and that he would make them fishers of men. Now, I want you to understand this, because when he calls the second set of brothers, what were they doing? They were mending the nets. And that, apparently that's really important too with regards to nets, because I thought that nets were resilient, so, you know, they don't break. But apparently they do. So you need to know how to have your net mended as well. It just sounds like a lot of work. So I'll just stick to music. But anyway, the title of what I want to talk about today is Mend, Bend, and Send. Say it with me. Mend, bend, and send. Okay, turn to your neighbor. Encourage them. God's going to mend you. He's going to bend you. And he sure enough is going to send you. All right. He wants to use you. Oh, God doesn't want to use you. Yeah, he wants to use you, but before he uses you, he's got to mend you. He's got to bend you. And part of the bending and the manipulation is because he wants to tie you with other people. There's relationship involved. There's never a destiny in somebody's life that God has designed for you to walk solo. It's always linked to walking with other people. Every single destiny of a person in this room is always linked corporately to somebody else, to a group of people. And his institution that he elaborates upon where this happens is the church. And I'm talking about the capital C church, which is the whole body of Christ. Every Bible-believing Christian is a part of this net that he wants to use. Now, we just want to emphasize it for our local church here, because we want to emphasize his intention for us as Christians as well. You were meant to walk with other people. You are at your best when you walk with others. Leviticus goes on to talk about how one puts 1,000 to flight, but two put 10,000 to flight. So it's exponential effectiveness if you learn to walk with others in relationship. This is the part of the net, the cast net. Now, apparently there's different types of net. I didn't even know this, again. I thought it was just nets, just one type of net. But this is the most popular form of net in Australia and in the States, and it's called a cast net. Now, there's a hand line. Yeah, like, I thought it's just the net, but there's a hand line, and then there's like this rope that ties to the yoke, and then there's like a pivot thing. So when you throw it, you don't just go like this. You don't just like throw it out. There's like a technique to the throwing, right? Any of my net fishers here? Okay, none of you want to own up to it. Like, apparently, like, you have to bundle up the net, gather it, and then there's the portion of it called the lead line, which enables the spread and the weight to the net, so it spreads out in this perfect circle. And so when you throw it, it's kind of like, you know, when you used to watch Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, you're like, and all the ninja stars will come out, and it goes out in like a circular motion. It's amazing. I was just watching these videos on YouTube of these guys and how they throw their nets, and they're always thrown out in a perfect circle. And so the net is extremely spread out as much as possible. And I think that God wants to do that with our church. It's not that we're all, like when God throws us out, we are still bundled together, and we just hit the ground and go, bah, you know? Meh. You know, he wants us to be spread out as much as we can. We need disciple makers in Logan and in Browns Plains as much as we need them in the Fortitude Valley, as much as we need them in St. Lucia on the campus, as much as we need them in the North Lakes. Yes, even the North Lakes. God wants us to be spread out as much as possible. And God is going to increase the spread to the point where it begins to look like this. Wow. So professional. I need a hat like that too. But this is my idea of how the net's going to be spread. How many of you are believing for this? Like, God wants to spread this net all over this nation. And I really believe that God's going to mend us. Then he'll bend us so that we learn to be twisted and walk with one another. And then he'll send us. And so it's just submitting ourselves under the Lordship of Christ and understanding that we are in the process of being mended, of being bended. Does that make sense into England? And then being sended, being sent, all right? Bent and sent, I should have said. You know what I meant. It's a rapper. Check it out. Go back to scripture. And before we do, here's my first point. Nets are meant to be cast in the sea, not placed on the wall. Nets are meant to be cast into the sea, not placed on the wall. Tina knows this. I don't know whether it's an age thing, because as I'm getting older, I notice that my taste in TV shows is starting to become different. I don't even watch series anymore. I'm starting to watch like home improvement shows, which is pretty sad. Like home renovation. On cable TV, there's this channel called HGTV. Any of you know about it? Home and Garden Television. And they have different renovation shows, like who can make this house look the best for the least amount of money. Or you can watch The Block or something like that. And I like seeing what they're able to do. Like, okay, $300, make this look like a palace. So they go and get fishnets, right? And then they throw it on the wall like it's ornamental. How many of you have been into like a fish and chip store? And then on the wall is like this net. And sometimes in the net, they have like photos of the owner, like with memories of when he used to fish, but now he doesn't fish anymore. He owns a fish and chip store and gets his little minions to go do the fishing while he just fries you up a fritter and, you know, and some cod. Man, I'm getting hungry. Well, look what you started, Stephanie. But nets weren't meant to be placed on walls. And unfortunately, in the church, like evangelism and reaching out is like an idea. It's not an idea. It's a responsibility. If you call yourself a Christian in here, you are meant to reach out. Like from the moment that you are saved, have you asked yourself, at what point were these disciples saved? Did they have to wait till after the cross? Did you ever think about this for a moment? The moment that Jesus said, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. They immediately started the process of evangelism. Like from the moment they followed God. And I would venture to say that the moment they followed Christ, that was it, you know. But it wasn't like, come, follow me in my 3-year discipleship program. And after I die, then you can start making disciples. No, like the Bible says that while Jesus was alive, remember they were casting out demons. They were the ones that were able to be vessels that were used in the miracles. They were the ones distributing the bread and the fish when Jesus fed the 5,000. They were the ones that were doing the work too, alongside Jesus. Remember, Jesus was witnessing to the Samaritan woman, and where were the other disciples during that time? They were out doing the will of the Father. And so many of us think, oh, you know what? I'll pray for the evangelists in the room. Or maybe you're not a part of this church, you're a part of another church, and evangelism seems like a great idea that you might put on your wall and celebrate. Whoa, what a beautiful net. I'll pray for the people that have a net. Lord, let that net remind me to pray for the net Christians. Like there are net Christians. No, we're all a part of this net. No matter what church you're a part of, actually, God should, through his gospel, inspire you to actually reach out. Nets were meant to be cast into the sea and not stuck on the wall in a fish and chip store or your little retro design for your house. Nets were meant to be cast. How many of you believe that? Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea. It's like a duh moment, right? Like, a duh, right? Casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Like not casting the net into the sea, for they were policemen. Because they were fishermen, they cast the net into the sea. Because you're a Christian, you go and cast your net to reach out. It's just like fish swim, Christians reach out. It's not like the responsibility of just a subjugate people. If you are a follower of Christ, you carry the net. You are a part of this net. Oh, look, I don't really know all the evangelistic techniques. I don't feel like I'm anointed of God to be able to evangelize. No, just be Christ. Just live out the way that Christ would have you live in front of other people. And trust me, there will be an opportunity for you to preach the gospel. There will be an opportunity for you to share just the simple story of how Christ has transformed and changed your life. That's all you need to be. Just be generous like God would be towards you. But the net is not the responsibility of somebody else. You are called to be the net. Turn to somebody around you and encourage them. You look good when you cast the net. Mm-mm. Second point is nets are brought in and then they're thrown out. This is something I learned about the technique. Nets are brought in and then they throw them out. It's like the discus, you know, back in the day when I used to, you know, Beatrice, Famuina, you know, do the spin and then. But you actually need to bring the net in and then you cast it out. That's the technique. Don't make me do it again, because I'm sure the fishermen in here are going, you're doing it wrong, Pastor Nelly. Go watch YouTube, trust me. But they bring that, they gather the net towards the end, and then they bring it in, and then they cast it out. And this speaks to the way that God uses us in discipleship. He brings us in and mends us, and then he casts us out. But a lot of the mending actually happens during the whole process. Like, as you're being cast out, you're still being mended. Does that make sense? Now, here's the thing. When he says, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men, what he's actually saying is that the invite, like, he didn't say, and if you don't follow me, you're going to hell. He gave them an option, like, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. They didn't have to follow him. The invite to come is actually an invitation. But once you've been invited in, it's natural that you want to go out. Because the command to go is a command. But it becomes a command only for those who come in. Does that make sense? Let me put it to you this way. Come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So they come in. That's the first time these disciples encounter Jesus. So first words are important. Then last words are important. The first words to the disciples was to come, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. The last words to the disciples was go and make disciples of all nations. Does that make sense? You with me? Like he brings them in. He says, watch me as I do this. And I'm going to anoint you. You're going to do it while I'm watching you. But when I ascend to heaven, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey. And I will be with you always. His Holy Spirit is with us. So what I'm trying to say is he brings us in. He mends, he bends, and then he sends. He brings us into relationship with one another and bends us so that we will. The thing about being bent is that we become more flexible. And we often think, you know what, Lord, I love Christ. It's just these Christians, God. I just struggle to love them, eh? Did you ever think about yourself and just how lovable you are? Oh, you lovable person, you. Easy to love you, isn't it? But blessed, this is an additional beatitude, the Ian Brisbane version. Blessed are the flexible, for they will never be broken. If you allow yourself to be bent, you will find the joy of the purpose of life, and then you will be sent. Okay, so it's the come, follow me. He brings us in, and then he casts us out to go and make disciples of all nations. Third point, last point, you're just going straight to it. Nets are only as successful as the mesh links are. Nets are only as successful as the mesh links are. Now, if you remember the diagram of the net, this is where the joinings are. And so if the joinings aren't joint, you have what we call in net terminology a hole. And if you have a hole, it's easy for the fish to just keep swimming, because there's nothing to hold them. But we are best at reaching the city if we are joined and twisted and meshed together in relationship. And this is a part of the process that God takes us through. I am so much better as a Christian because I am linked to other Christians. I'm so much better as a follower of God because I am linked to other men and women in this room. Because I'm linked to, obviously, to Tina, because I was raised by my mother who's here. Give her a hand. She's with us for one more Sunday before she heads back. I'm inextricably linked, obviously, to these women, but I'm also inextricably linked to the leaders of this church, like Norm and Tua and Mariko and Easter and Seda and Novaline, whom I've known for such a long time. And I can go down the line, Roisin, who's in New Zealand right now. And then, I can go down the line with all of the leaders in this room and the people that I've walked in relationship with. We've walked through some fire together. And we walked through some tough times where we would had to, confront one another with different things. And I have relationships like this all over the world. And I'm thankful for those relationships because then I'm learning to be bent and molded in the way that God would have me placed in the net as he sees fit. And the process works on me. I become more sanctified so that when people taste the gospel from my life, it doesn't appear weird and segregated. Have you noticed the hardest people to receive the gospel from sometimes are the people that are individuals that aren't connected in relationship, and there's kind of like a weird taste to their Christianity when they preach the gospel. Does that make sense? It's kind of like, how can I trust you if you're not linked in relationship? Here's something to think about for all the single people in here. You can tell the strength of a man of God, ladies, by seeing the way he relates to other brothers around him. If he's walking with other strong men of God whom he's accountable to and walks in tight relationship with, then that's a good sign. But if he's a lone ranger, alarm bells immediately go off. And it's the same for the sisters here. The single brothers in here, if you see a sister, but if she's not in relationship with other sisters, she's not, knit in the net, then that's probably something you want to reconsider. If you want to grow in God and you want to trust Him for how He leads you in relationship. Are you with me? Does that make sense? Because I really feel like you mature a lot faster if you dig in with the relationships and with the links that God brings you to help that maturity. And it brings out a sweetness in the way that you represent Christ, so that when you deliver the gospel, you can see it not just in the context of you, but in the context of everybody else around you, because you are a part of the net. Does that make sense? I'm ending with this analogy here. I want you to think about this. I'll read the scripture and then I'll get to it. And going on a little further, he saw James and Zebedee, son John, his brother, who were in the boat mending the nets. And immediately, everybody say immediately, he called them and they left their father Zebedee. Poor dude, Zebedee. Hey, where are you going? Jesus called, later, dad. Oh, first Zebedee, I take off my fishing boot and do a Tom Brady on them, man. When they left the father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. I mean, that's what real lordship looks like. When Jesus calls you, you just go. You just go. Because there's a sweetness in being joined with Jesus. And Jesus would have it that you would join with the body. If we are God's representative, if we are the body of Christ, then we are to be joined. We are to be joined together. And there's a sweetness in that. Now, pointing towards the sweetness, how many of you, whether or not you have seen the original Rocky movie, would crack open an egg and just eat the egg raw? Anybody in here would do that? Why? Because there's no value in that. Like Rocky back in 77 when he tried to do that, I don't know what he was trying to do. It doesn't have any nutritional value. Tastes best scrambled. I'm just fasting again, Lord. I'm sorry. But raw eggs don't taste good, right? There's no value in eating a raw egg. What about if I was to say, okay, get some flour and just take a handful of flour and shove that baby in your mouth. Like, oh, I'm having a good time with your sermon. Yeah, I didn't bring the popcorn, but I'm just going to pop flour. Nobody pops flour, right? No, flour does not taste good on its own. What about butter? Like, we get some butter. And you just take a whole stick of butter and, like, during my sermon, because you think it's a movie, you just pull out a stick of butter in the middle of my sermon. You just start chewing on that bad boy like, yeah, great sermon. You know, it's great, anointed. Or is that anointing or is that just the oil on my face? Like, all of these things taste terrible on their own. But when you mix them up in their context and you actually allow the process of beating the eggs and beating the butter and beating the flour together, guess what it looks like? And I'm sorry to lead you into temptation, but it looks like a cake. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And I'm here to tell you today that if you allow yourself to go through the process of being joined together and going through the process of being beaten, and I'm not saying get beaten up, but what I'm saying is allow yourself to go through the process of being knit together with the other ingredients that make the church. It's the sweetness of the taste of the gospel to this whole city when we can learn to walk together. God wants people to come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Not the organization of Ian Brisbane is good, but the Lord is good. And it's the Lord in all of us, the central ingredient, the sugar, which I forgot to mention, is brought into the center of this whole mix. And that's what changes the flavor. See, some of us try to go on a solo and try to think, oh, I can catch people by myself. But you sound like an egg. Seriously. Stop being an egg. Come join the mix. Come get in the egg beater and just get mixed up. You know, just get mixed up and let God put you in the heat of the oven to burn away the infirmity and the sickness of sin. Because it's in this environment that we can experience the mending, the bending, and then the open the oven, sending.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.